Slim Christmas edition. We are missing a bunch of people, of course. We got a lot that's sick today. A lot of prayer requests to remember. We've got some that's gone, different things. So just don't let the crowd side affect us. Just focus on what's important, and that's Jesus. We know, obviously, Christmas is just a few days from us, and different Christmas than we all can ever imagine. Things has been completely different all year. But the one constant that remains the same is Jesus is still on the throne. Amen. He came to seek and to save that which was lost and to give us life and give it more abundantly. And all the pandemics in the world can't change that. And so we can rest in that peace today. That's what our Sunday school lesson was on, was peace. And that's what we need to remember, is the only way we can have peace is truly trusting in the work that he has done for each one of us. As far as prayer requests goes, I'm going to try to name a few. I will miss some, but don't be mad at me because I do it. We just got a bunch of them that's sick. Of course, remember Janelle, she is still in the hospital. Peggy and Rudy has been positive with the virus. I think Peggy's been having some pretty severe symptoms yesterday. Peggy Cochran and Charlie's also had it. Casey and her and Corey Nim has been okay so far. I think Peyton's had a fever, but she's negative, as far as we know. And we've got, many more. Do y'all know of any I need to add?
Brandy and her girls.
They got it?
They're in quarantine.
Brandy and her girls in quarantine. Yes. We have got... Like I said, we're going to try to name them. We're going to put the whole church on there. And remember those also that's from our cancer ministry. We've got many of those on our prayer list still. We have a few has passed away in the last several weeks that had been on there for a while. So remember their families at this time of year. It's tough. And I'm just going to say remember each other. Like I said, this is definitely a different Christmas service than I can ever remember. And we, as pastors, usually joke and say that we have churches are going to always be full of CEO Christians. I'll let you figure that out, but Christmas, Easter. And so we're not seeing that this year because obviously pandemic has got people away, and I don't blame anybody for if you're nervous or you do what you feel is best for your family. And if that's staying at home, then that's fine with me. But any more prayer requests that we need to remember before we pray?
My friend Kristen that I work with, she tested positive and up here on the vent a couple days ago, and she's only 39.
Wow. That's the Yakeley. Remember her. She's, I think, pretty low. Any others? Again, remember our service. And also, on a lighter note and something to look forward to, if you are comfortable, we will be having a church-wide, I guess you could call it, again, we're not too wide this time with all of our people missing, but tonight in the fellowship hall at 5 o'clock, we'll be having some food and be having a dirty Santa, if you want to call it that, or white elephant, whatever you like to say, but just bring something from home or bring something up to not, we don't want anything over $10. I don't want you to go out and spend a bunch of money. You can bring anything from home you want to, just use your brain, you know, of course. And we'll be doing this tonight at 5. We'll have a good time. We had planned to watch our DVD they have of the past Christmas play or Christmas, whatever it was, that all these people was in, and Peggy was a narrator, but because all of them's missing, we're going to postpone that to a later date. Jonathan M's got us fixed up down there where we can watch something now on a projector, but we will do that at a later date because we are missing so many. And the youth has made them some ugly Christmas sweaters to wear tonight. And if you've got an ugly Christmas sweater and you think yours is uglier than theirs, then wear it. Let's just have a good time because we all need some laughter this Christmas season and need some time of fellowship. And also remember that Christmas Eve night at 8 o'clock, we will meet here and we'll have Christmas Eve service. Won't hold you very long. I know we did it at 8 last year, worked out real good. But again, there wasn't a global pandemic last year like they are this year. So if you feel comfortable, come out and be with us. Christmas Eve night at 8 o'clock. We will finish our service. Have no other prayer requests. We will go to the Lord in prayer. Then we will light our Advent candle and we'll get started. Father, we thank you again for this day you've given us. We thank you for the blessings. God, we understand that you are the Prince of Peace. I ask that you let peace rule in our hearts. In all these prayer requests that's been made known, we ask you to heal each one. And I know, God, the Scripture teaches us that your will is perfect and we're supposed to accept your perfect will. And I pray that you help us be at peace with that will and know that you are in control and that whichever way you see is best, is that's what it will be. And we trust it. We may not always understand it, but, Lord, we trust it. God, we ask you to be with each soul as we go forward in Christmas season. And just because things are uncertain, don't let us miss the meaning of what Christmas is, as you're sending your Son as a gift for each one of us, that through this gift we may have life. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Been asking different people to read the Advent. Of course, we're about to use them all up because not many here this morning, so I'll read it. This is the third Sunday of Advent. It is joy. It says, the third Sunday of Advent, we are invited to reflect on the joy we have accesses to because of our faith in Jesus. One of the defining characteristics of Christ's followers is their joyful demeanor. Let's not allow the struggles of this year to steal from the great joy we have because of Jesus. Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 says, but the angel said unto them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Over this Advent, would you pray that the joy of the Lord would be evident in your heart and home? May God's Spirit transform the days leading up to Christmas into a time of holy anticipation, preparing our hearts as we joyfully await the chance to celebrate the arrival of our King. Today is a day for us to rejoice because Jesus came and died so that we may live forever with Him. Let us pray. Lord, the good news of Jesus' arrival brings such a joy to our world. Reach those who are lost in searching with a message of hope that we have through the Messiah. God, allow your message of peace to bring comfort to our anxious world. As we all go about the holiday season, let the message of great joy pierce through all the noise into people's hearts. Amen.
Let's stand and sing really, really loud with us this morning.
Nature's I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play, and mild and sweet their songs repeat. A peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing,
peace on earth.
On earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the bells are ringing,
peace on earth.
Then ring the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep.
Peace on earth, peace on earth.
The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime. A peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells, they're ringing, like a choir they're singing,
peace on earth.
With our hearts we'll hear them,
peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Do you hear the bells they're ringing,
peace on earth.
Today, probably than it was last year. We are all definitely needing some peace on earth. We are living in a time of, like we talked about this morning, time of fear, time of uncertainties, and thanks be to God that peace came that Christmas morning. If you got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We'll be going several places actually in the scripture, but this is part three of our Christmas series, Remember Me. And again, I think we've been given an opportunity this year to slow down and truly remember Jesus. and understand the need we have for Him in our lives, and that we cannot control anything. How evident has that been in 2020 that we cannot control a single thing? We can't control our health. We can't control the way our nation's going. We can't control any of this. We just have to trust that Jesus is in control, and that's where our peace truly comes from. So if I had a title for this today, it would be, I Came to Give. Jesus came to give. John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, a very familiar scripture. You probably have heard it quoted many times. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Father, we thank you today for this word. We thank you again for allowing your people to meet. And I know we are few in number this morning, but God, I ask that you just give us a desire to seek your face, and that those that are on Facebook or YouTube, whatever way they may be watching this morning, the sick, I ask you to heal their bodies. God, those that are suffering from other illnesses that we may not have mentioned, I ask you to be with them. God, just bring peace to their life this morning. Let us understand that you have came to give. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You began thinking about Christmas, and we all remember as a kid, we love Christmas. We even say, well, that thing's slow, it's Christmas, when we're talking about Pat, because she's old. We talk about that. We can't wait for Christmas to get here. And we say that it's more blessed to give than to receive, although I don't know that we really believe that at Christmas. We all like to receive, and don't be self-righteous. You like to get gifts. We all do. But that Christmas morning some 2,000 years ago, we all received the best gift that we didn't even know we needed. We get many gifts, and by the way, most of your gifts, whether you realize this or not, get put in a corner and never used. Some gifts get worn, some gifts get played with for about a few minutes. I remember when our girls was little, we'd go out and spend all this money we didn't have for all these toys. We would bring them there under the tree, and of course Santa Claus would come, and then they'd get up that morning, they would open those gifts from Santa. And when they was little babies, they would play with a doll maybe a few minutes, and then they'd play with a box the rest of the day. Those gifts we thought was all so meaningful, was good for just a little bit, but then they went away. You may remember a gift you have at home that you wanted that thing worse than anything in the world, and then when you got it, it wasn't all you thought it was, and you never use it. You put it up on a shelf, and it's there, and you look at it every now and then, but it has no use. But that Christmas morning, the first one, they was given a gift that you need for all eternity. And listen, he came to give his life for you. Have you ever thought about that? He came to trade with you. I was thinking this morning as I was getting ready, if I could trade lives with anybody, who would I trade with? And I honestly don't know that we think we know who we'd want to trade with. I always thought I would like to be in a race car driver, either, of course, I'm not near big enough to be a professional athlete or any of that, but we think about that, and oh, what the money would bring. We would have money, we would have fame, we would have fortune, we'd have all those things. And as I said that, you probably thought of somebody that you would trade lives with. But honestly, you don't know what they go through. You don't know what they endure. So yeah, you better keep the one you have. But listen, Jesus came and traded his perfect sinful life for a life of yours, which was marred. A life of yours which is broken, a life of yours which was full of sin, and he never knowing any sin, but he took all the sins of the world on him on the cross to give you a life and to trade his life for yours. And he came truly to give you life. And listen, you stood in need of a Savior, and you didn't even know it. You stood in need of someone to pay that debt you didn't even know you owed. And listen, Jesus came to be that Savior to you, because this one you cannot work out on your own. You cannot work out a way to be right with God. You cannot work out a way that you're going to spend eternity with God. You can't make a deal with God that's going to be suffice to Him. The only thing that works for a sinful life is the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only deal that'll take place. And that is why He came to trade and to give you that life. Now think about this. We have all traded cars before. And there's times you traded and you thought to yourself, well, they don't know what they got. Because that car was about to quit running, that car was about to do this, it was about to do that, and all these things, and you think that you have got them, you think that you've got over on them, and boy, they are in a bad shape. But listen, the best trade you ever made was with Jesus Christ. The best trade. If you haven't made that trade today, I beg you to make it. Because the Bible says he came to give his life a ransom for many. And that word ransom means to loosen a something. He came to release you from what it was that had you bound, and that thing was death. We talked about it in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Do you understand that there is one word that fuels all fear we have? That one word is death. We fear it. We are afraid of the coronavirus because it will kill us. We're afraid of cancer because it means death a lot of times. We're afraid of car wrecks because of death is associated many times. We're afraid of these things because of death, and we are controlled by it if we're not careful. And thanks be to God, he came to release that bondage and to take care of death forever. We will die physically, but if we know him spiritually, we will live forever. So he came to trade his perfect life for ours that is broken, that was need of something. And John chapter number 15, verse number 13 tells us something here. Listen to this. I am the good shepherd. I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, if you truly love somebody, you will be willing to give your life for theirs. You don't know many people that you would do that unless you're way better than I am. Now, I believe most of us would give our life for our children. Most of us, I believe, would do that. If it came down to it, we would probably trade with them. But let me ask you this. Would you trade with a man who's just been convicted of child molestation? Would you trade with a man who's just been convicted of murdering so-and-so-and-so-and-so? Would you trade with a man who has done all these bad things to his family? Would you trade with this woman who is caught up in this sin or that sin? Or would you trade for the drug addict down there on the side of the road that don't have a house? Would you trade for that? Would you lay down your life for that person? And the answer to that is no, you wouldn't. But Jesus came to give his life for all. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it also says, for all who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, whether neither Greek or Jew or Gentile, or that means no matter what their race is or what their affiliation is. Jesus came to save, and he gave it all for all people. And today you should be joyful. You should be running around this building today because Jesus Christ has come to give you life and give it more abundantly. Boy, we'll be a happy people. We are truly a blessed people. Next, he came to give you peace. Peace. We've talked about it all day. Luke chapter 7, verse 50. And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Now I began thinking about this. Well, I need a verse, Lord, that'll show them truly what peace is. And we're talking about peace a lot today because we're worried about a coronavirus or other things that are bringing harm to our land. But listen, the peace that Jesus came to give us is a peace of knowing that we are okay with God. And this woman was a sinful woman in this scripture. If you read about this, she was a sinful woman. And it looked like she should not be forgiven. It looked like she should be stoned. It looked like she should be condemned. It looked like she should be done away with. But Jesus came for her, and he came and saved her. And not only did he say, your sins are forgiven, he told her to go in peace. So many people today have been saved, I believe this. But I believe many of them are living in guilt. Many of them are living in shame. Many of them are living in regret. Many of them are living in all kinds of things. And they're not living an abundant life because they're held down by what the devil simply has told you a lie. Because Jesus told this woman to go in peace. This woman had been a great sinner. She had done all these things against God. And he told her to go. Her sin was forgiven. And to go in peace. Listen, Jesus today, when he sets you free, you are free indeed. No longer do the sins of the past held on to you. You need to let go of them and go forward in realizing that you have peace through him. If I ask you today, how many of you have ever done something bad? If none of you raised your hands, you would be liars. Because you're all sinners. You may be saved by grace, but you're all sinners. If I ask you how many of you have done this sin, and if you was honest, many of us could raise our hands. I could ask you all these things, and you would have to raise your hand. You'd have to say, I'm guilty. I have done that, I'm guilty. But listen, if you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, according to my Bible, it says those things are gone from us, they are done away with, and He's forgotten them. But today, we just cannot forget them, and because we can't, we are living in guilt, we're living in fear, we're living in all these things, and you don't have to do that. You do not have to dwell on your past. As long as you do, you will not have peace. You're a new creature. You're a brand new creation. So many people never get past the past. We can't get past it. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what I done in the 70s. You don't know what Pat done in the 20s. You don't know all these things. But listen, it don't matter what you did. This stuff has been forgiven. Let me let you listen to this verse. Psalms 103, verses 8 through 12. I want you to listen to this as I read it. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As for the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. You want peace this Christmas? You want peace. Now, I'm not talking about now. I want peace from worrying about what's going to happen. We all want that peace, but that's promised. But I think the most important peace is knowing that a man, woman, boy, or girl is right with God. And listen, once you have called upon Him to save you, I want you this Christmas season to understand that you don't have to live held to the past. It is gone. It is done away with. There's not a person here that can change the past. If you could, you would, but you might mess up the plan. You cannot change the past. None is righteous, no, not one. And you need to start believing that. You see, you look around, you think, well, man, they've got their life together. You look around, you think, oh, so-and-so, he's a preacher, he's a Sunday school teacher, she's this, she's that. Man, they really got their life together. Let me tell you something. If you'll take that scripture and understand that none is good, no, not one, it's only by faith in Jesus Christ is anybody made right, then you understand that you're just like everybody else. Not that makes you right, but it gives you some help understanding that you're not this bad person. The devil's got you believing you are. Yes, without Jesus, you're on your way to hell and you're lost and undone. But once you come to Him, you are saved by the grace of God and you have been set free and quit living bound. Many of us are bound by the past. All of us were sinners in need of a Savior. Sinners in need of a Savior. Every single one of us. Not a one of us that didn't fit that description. I know people who have battled addictions. I know people who have gotten caught up in many sin. I've knew people who have had an affair on their spouse or different things, and no doubt it pulls them down. There's times that it drags them down. And listen, and I don't know your past, and you don't know my past, and we don't know anybody's past, the truth be known. You might have heard some things, but you truly don't know. But one thing I know for certain is God has forgiven you if you have asked Him. He says He's just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and today we need to live free in peace. He's came to give you peace. Thirdly, He came to give you life at its best. John chapter 10, verse 10, we start off with this verse. The thief cometh not but for to kill and destroy. To steal, kill, and destroy. What does it say he is? He's a thief. What does he steal? He steals life. He comes to steal your joy. He comes to kill your relationships. He comes to kill your testimony. He comes to kill all these things. He comes to destroy your family. Listen, he's got this little thing that we love to dabble into called sin. And we've come to believe that we can handle that thing. We've come to believe that we can dabble in this sin a little bit and we can be okay and I can do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But do you understand something? That when you dabble in that, you're messing with what comes from the thief, and the thief wants nothing else but to destroy you. He don't care about your life. He don't care about your family. He don't care about your testimony. He don't care about your church family. He don't care about anything. All that rascal wants to do is to kill, steal, and destroy. He's not good at all. There's nothing good in him. You think the Grinch is bad. This rascal here is much worse than the Grinch. All the things he'll steal from you and kill. But listen, what Jesus says he did. He says, I came that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Abundantly means to full. It means the best there is available. Today, if you're not living completely as great as you can live, then listen, it's your fault. Because Jesus says, I came to give them life. And if I give them life, I set them free. I give them peace and I give them complete, abundant, whole life to enjoy. His greatest desire for you, number one, is to be saved in a relationship with him. And secondly, it's to be living a life that is full as it can be. He desires it. Just as the garden was perfect, so was Adam and Eve perfect before the fall. There wasn't even any thistles. Wasn't any thorns. Wasn't any cancer. Wasn't any coronaviruses. Wasn't any of these bad things we have today. Everything was in a perfect environment. But then what happened? Sin came in. And when sin came in, immediately something had to die. That's where the thought comes up that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Immediately when sin entered in, something had to die. We know an animal died and God clothed them there in that garden. And then God set up something called laws. He set up some laws for us. And laws are made for our protection. They're made for our protection. Why does it say go 55 miles an hour? Because if you go in 100 and somebody pulls out, somebody get killed. It says do not steal. Why is it wrong to steal? Because somebody will wind up shooting you because you're getting their stuff. It's made to protect you. Why does it say do not covet other people's stuff? Because it destroys your life and you spend all your money trying to have what they have. And it's all this stuff was set up to protect you. Even the laws of land we have today is set up for protection. The Ten Commandments, God set them up for your protection. But guess what? They become a binding. They become a prison for us. You know why? Because it says that I shall not covet. It says I shall not steal. It says I shall not kill. And the Bible, listen to this. And Jesus taught, if you hate your brother, then you're as guilty as murder. And Jesus taught, it says, do not commit adultery. And Jesus taught, if you look on a woman lust after her, then you've committed adultery in your heart. And Jesus said, you cannot covet. And we all have coveted everything because that's what marketing is made up for now, to make us covet. So we are all guilty of all these laws, and they have bound us to this thing. And Jesus says, I came to set you free from all of that. Galatians 3:22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ may be given to them that believe. Boy, you have been set free. It hath concluded us all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ may be given to them that believe. By faith in Jesus Christ, you have been set free from these laws that bound you. You was a slave. Binding in the Greek and Hebrew is what happened to a slave. They was bound. They was bound to their owner. They could not go free because they belonged to that owner. Today we are all belong to sin because we are born of sinful nature. But our faith in Jesus Christ have set us apart. And because of that, we're not bound by this law. Listen, the Jews still today have 613 laws they have to abide by. They have to wash their hands, which we know is a good one. They have to have the cufflinks right. They have to have all these things spiritually, they believe spiritually right, of their garments and all these things and all these laws, and they bind them. And Jesus says, I came to set you free. I came to give you life and give it more abundantly. We are free through faith. Never, never to be bound again. You're never to be bound by sin anymore. Once you trust Christ, you see, we get in our minds that means that we're forgiven about what I done when I was 20. We'd get in our minds that I'm forgiven of what I did yesterday. We get in our minds we are guilty. We are guilty, but we've been forgiven of what I've done this morning. Listen, Jesus says he came to seek and save that which was lost, to do away with all sin. And when he does that, our sins of past, present, and future have been forgiven, and we are free. You may not believe this, but you are going to sin sometime today. Most of us are going to leave here. We're going to go to a restaurant. We're going to eat way more than we need. We're going to commit a sin of gluttony. We're going to get to work tomorrow, and something's going to happen. And we're probably going to tell a little white lie or do something. We may put one of our boss's pens in our pockets and come home, or may accidentally come home with something we need for our car. And we say accidentally because it makes us feel better. But we're all going to sin sometime very soon. But Jesus says, I came to set you free and to give you life and give it abundantly. You are no more bound. Now listen, we know that Paul teaches this. Grace does not give you a license to go steal what you want to steal. Does that give you a license to go do what you want to do? And we know that if we are saved with that, we have a desire to serve God. And we don't do these things. Paul said, God forbid. We're never to be bound again. Lastly, he came for a guarantee of your future. Peace. We would come if we was guaranteed for exactly what we wanted. You would have complete peace today if I was to tell you from now, let's say you're my age, 45, and I told you that you was going to live to Pat's age, which was 100. And that from now to that time, you're not going to ever be in the hospital. You're never going to have to visit a dentist office. You're never going to have to visit any dead family members in a funeral home. You're not going to have to do any of these things. You're never going to have to repair your car. You're not going to have to do any of this stuff. You're going to have life completely perfect. And you're going to have this, and I can promise it to you. If I told you that, then you could be at perfect peace. You wouldn't be worried about death coming next year or today. You wouldn't be worried about what may happen to this or that today, or about the loved one this or that. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you see what he said? He said, I am persuaded. That means he is sure. He is sure. Your future is secure and cannot be annulled once you're in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And your future is so secure that you can rest at peace knowing that God has given you all this stuff and it is promised to you in the Scripture. Now I know what you're saying. You still haven't given me proof. Well, I'm about to. John chapter 6, verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perish, but for that meat which endure unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. God has sealed the work of Jesus Christ. When you seal something, it is sure. In the Bible days, it reads about signets and all this. The kings had rings on it. When something was sealed, they would stamp it, and it could not be undone because it was done by the king. It was set in stone if the king ever sealed it. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Almighty have sealed his perfect Son, and the work he did for you has been sealed, and nobody can undo it. It is sealed. But now listen to that. You want some more proof still, because you said he's sealed, but what about me? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 through 13. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The scripture teaches that once you are saved, you're indwelled by the Spirit of God. And that indwelling of the Spirit of God is proof to you that you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit of God does not dwell in you if you do not feel that tugging on your heart when you're about to sin. Now listen, you can get this. You can get so caught up and so comfortable in sin that you can become numb to it. Just like our nervous system. God gave us a nervous system to protect ourselves from something hot. We hurt in our bodies to let us know something is wrong, to go to the doctor. That's why we have this. It is a warning system. The Spirit of God is indwelled into every one of us as a warning system and as a leading system, as a GPS, if you will, and leading us closer to God. And if that Holy Spirit is not there, if it's not directing, if it's not convicting, then maybe you need to do some checking up with God, because according to this, that is your spirit of promise, that you are sealed by Jesus Christ because He is sealed. Your future is secure. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You say, what about myself? You are a creature. You cannot do it. You say, what about the devil? Can't do it. That's one of the principalities and powers. He cannot do it. What about the President of the United States? He cannot do it. The King of England cannot do it. Anybody else that's in power cannot separate you. Nothing upon nothing can separate you from the love of God. You want to be at peace this Christmas season? You truly, truly desire peace? Then you need to be like Paul. You need to be persuaded. You need to be sure. You've heard it preached, but do you believe that nothing can separate you from the love of God? You've read it in your Bible, but do you believe that nothing can separate you from that promise He has given you, that you are sealed? There's a lot of things uncertain. I do not know for sure what's going to happen this afternoon. I don't know what's going to happen next minute. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I sure don't know what's going to happen next week. But I am sure of one thing, that God is in control, and that He has sealed me, and that nothing can undo that seal. It is there to protect. When you seal something, you protect what's inside from what's outside, and vice versa. Nothing can get out, nothing can get in. You're sealed. Until we get that in our hearts, until we get that in our minds, we will not have peace. Jesus was sent into the world to bring you life and to bring it abundantly. There's not a single person who lives in fear that's living an abundant life. And we're living in fearful times. You have a right to be fearful. Physically speaking, you have a right to be fearful. It's at every corner. You don't know when you go into a restaurant, maybe stand beside somebody that's going to give you a virus that could take your life. But you know what? It cannot separate you from the love of God. Neither life nor death nor anything can separate you from the love of God. If everyone would you stand this morning? His desire is you have peace this Christmas season, because He came to give you that. He came to seek and to save you which was lost. He came to give all abundant life to every single one of us. If you are living outside of this peace today, it's of your making. It's because you are not trusting. You're not trusting because you're not persuaded. You're not sure if God is who He says He is. If we believe that God is who He says He is, then we should believe He can do what He says He can do. And that is protect us. That is give us peace. That's nothing can overtake us. Today I want to ask you a question. Are you sure? Are you sure that you know Jesus and the free pardon of sin? Are you sure that He has set you free? Are you sure that He is God of all? Are you sure that He's in complete control? Then if you are, You can have peace that pass all understanding. You don't have that peace today. I want to invite you to an old-fashioned altar, as it's always said, to get on your knees before God and cry out. My prayer is that we would all seek this season peace. A life of complete peace. Of knowing that no matter what happens, that God is in control. Nobody can change it. No circumstance can change it. No virus can change it. No disease can change it. Not a single thing. That we are at complete peace with God. How are you this morning as she plays?